live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 135 of the Fans of Power podcast. I'm Tyler Baker, and he's with us completely, Joe Motta.
Hey, yo, I got my cold water.
And he's laughing here, too.
I got my cold water. I got some cool air on. So I'm all good to go. And for Nathan and for Tyler and anybody earlier, I absolutely apologize. I swear to God, I don't mean to. I say this a lot. I'm not a bad person. I'm not. I used to maybe have. I've told Tyler before. I think I haven't. I think I've said it before in a podcast that, you know, maybe when I was younger, I had anger issues. I'm not saying I went around bullying people, but I was quick to snap. And I tried to learn from that, and today I just kind of snapped and just got angry where I probably shouldn't have. So I just apologize if anybody, because I got so many messages today, like, you all right? I mean, I even had one of your buddies, Tyler, somebody that, you know, I've never known before. He even reached out to me. His name's Travis Lane, and he's like, man, you okay? And send me a friend request. And, you know, it's nice to know that people can, you know, you look out for each other, just to make sure people, in case it looks like they just went bananas. But again, I apologize. I didn't mean to sound insane to anybody, and if I did, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, it really threw all of us off. I mean, hell, part of me felt really bad, and the part of me felt like this could be like a great gag. Like I could almost turn this into, like, anytime Joe disagrees, it turns into, that's it, this podcast is over, and he flips everything over and leaves the room, and you hear it run off and his car take off like a character on The Simpsons running off. It become like a great, this podcast is over, just everything just flips. And if anyone could do, like with last week's Beyond Retro, they put Joe's face on the little fat kid from kindergarten cop eating all the food from lunch boxes. If they could put like an illustration of Joe flipping over his desk with just the mask on with the caption, this podcast is over. God, it would be so awesome. Just capitalizing on Joe's. Because I started laughing. I could see that becoming just this running thing. This podcast is just saying it. Over and over, anytime Joe doesn't like something,
I'm sorry, but I mean, it's a lot of factors in my room. It was, I mean, in here, I didn't have the air on, so it was really hot. I had lukewarm water, and like I said, I got this ice cold, and I can sip through a straw, so it looks like I'm sticking into my throat, but I can drink under the mask. But I was sweating so much that it's like discolored my mask. I gotta make a new mask. But well, first let me say hello to everybody that's in the chat room. We have JSP, Eric Amon, Zentron's here, Zen Brown is here. Aaron S., thank you for joining us. And there, so yeah, we got some people in the chat room. We got a lot of different things to say. And yeah, so we have a few different topics. We're going to talk about a couple characters. We're going to do a commentary for a Filmation episode, one that's, you know, widely known for maybe being super popular. And for others, maybe, might wonder, what's the big deal about it? But
yeah, no, that would be my side if you're wondering who the hell would think that.
Exactly. But spoiler alert, but as for any newer things, I was like, was there any? Oh, wait, I know what I wanted to say. I also wanted to say hello to another fan that out of nowhere contacted me. His name, Michael Patnaud. I hope I said that. Patnaud. Yeah, Michael Patnaud. Well, he contacted me and he said that, you know, he ran across us on YouTube and enjoyed the podcast. And he says that he's got his kids that are starting to be involved with Masters of the Universe. He said he has two boys that are 3 and 8 years old. And he's got them watching Masters. And I think he's got them going with, you know, Filmation, NYP. I just love hearing, you know, like, give them all the Masters goodness from the past and up to the, you know, present, hopefully in the future. But it's good knowing new fans. But I want to see, I asked him what the names of his sons were. So he said, Colston is his 3-year-old son and Jeremy is his 9-year-old. So Colston, Jeremy, you're listening to. Hope you enjoyed the show as well.
Your kids are on the right track with the. Indulging in the mythology of Master of the Universe. So you kids, just by doing this already, you're destined for greatness. I don't care what you're doing, you will be destined for greatness. And just make sure that the boys are introduced to Lizard Man at an early age, so they can appreciate the greatness in his two appearances as well.
Tyler loves to push for Lizard Man. He definitely likes to push for him. Do you even include? And when you say Lizard Man, you include the brown version with the glasses?
No.
Is that what? You,
no.
Oh no.
No. No, even though I believe technically the character was listed as Lizard Man, when they color him brown and give him spectacles, I'm like, that's not Lizard Man. That may be part of Lizard Man's family or his race, but that is not Lizard Man.
Oh yeah, because he was
And
different. Because
I'm pretty. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
oh no, I mean he did, like you said. I know that in Filmation they like to palette swap a lot of characters sometimes. But you're right. Maybe listen to Lizard Man. But I was like, but he looks different. He's brown. He's got glasses. He just looks, you know, different than Lizard Man, but similar, of course.
Yeah, and I'm fairly certain James Etok has confirmed that was supposed to be Lizard Man. But I'm sorry, well, you can't change the character's whole likeness and everything and still call him Lizard Man. I'm like, nah, that's not Lizzie. Not to me, at least.
Yeah, like, hell, was it, like, there's a character I always liked in Filmation, but I know that he was portrayed in another episode. It was, like, similar kind of story, but different. Like, I always liked Cambro, you know, the big gentle giant, but I know that he was then also shown later on as Herman. He was some kind of hermit or something, I think, and his eyes, instead of being completely white, I thought they had pupils and might have been a different color, but if it's the same, it's the same damn design, though.
They managed to do. I mean, sometimes they really got lazy with it, like with Dragoon showing up and as a something. It's in the She's. It shows up in a She-Ra episode. And he's really tall. I think it's like Into the Dark Dimension. I think it's what it's called. And he's, I forgot what his the name is called, but it's just a really tall version of Dragoon. They barely don't even really change the colors on him that much. And
yeah,
you know, sometimes you kind of feel like, okay, we can go along with some of the things that you're doing with this, but some of them are just like, come on, you guys didn't even try. One of the biggest offenders for me was when I got the entire series on VHS and watched A City Beneath the Sea, and you see the daughter is just Selyse with green skin. I'm like, this is the laziest use of stock that you've got. I mean, it's, you know, I'm sure now you just think Orion's slave girl from Star Trek, but this was just so lazy to see them do that. Hell, everybody else has got, you know, underwater features, like, it's just Selyse with green skin. Red hair, same.
Right. And I didn't even remember this, but Grimbot in the chat room said that also for Cambro, his first appearance was in Disappearing Act as a caveman monster. I didn't even remember that.
Well, it must have been a deleted scene because they mention him in the episode. You know, he's in a laser cage near the Cave of Cambro. So when I got older, I'm like, that's kind of neat that they dropped that character, but obviously it must have been a deleted scene because he's mentioned but not shown. So that's Grimbot. Grimbot, Keith, you can confirm that if that was a deleted scene for sure.
Yeah, because I'd love to know. And also, Aaron S. in the chat room, when you're referring to the gigantic version of Dragoon, I think she said it was the Dark One.
That's it, the Dark One. Yeah, I know it was kind of a simplistic name, yeah.
Thank you, Aaron. So there you go. It's like I said, I definitely can't memorize all these characters. I mean, I try, but I know that when it comes to the names of the episodes and some of the characters like Droom, you know, especially like when they showed a lot of those creatures and characters, including Cambro, wasn't there that episode, remember the guy that was making his intergalactic zoo or whatever it was show, and he had all the creatures on his ship, and you seen like one that looked like Cambro in the background and one that looked like Gark, and I thought there was just a ton of things back then.
They, I mean, even like BC Sideshow, where they've got the Shadow Beast, and then they've got like the Snake Serpent from Dawn of Dragoon with like a different color palette, and it's like green instead of red. I mean, sometimes you can buy it, other times you just kind of roll your eyes, like, guys, come on, man. Yes. You're so quick to think that it's Larry DiTilio. I can't believe he wrote this garbage. I'm like, well, he wrote the story. He didn't write, you know, what the characters are supposed to look like. He may specify that, but then they gotta get, you know, we don't have time, throw that in there. And, you know, I used to make that mistake of blaming the writers for like some of these mistakes, and like then I come to realize that it wasn't their fault. They just wrote the story, and
right,
you know.
But hell, they try to make use of everything as much as they could. And before we get right into some of the character discussion, one more for Grimbot. He said he's the caveman with the sword and Orko's hat. I know that thing, but I guess I never realized that was Cambro.
It's not mentioned that, like, you wouldn't, I mean.
Or at least his model. I didn't realize that was the same model that was Cambro.
Especially when they go back in time and you see this caveman slash beast that, you know, with Orko's hat and using the sword to carve, you know, with the wood. You wouldn't, I mean, he's not name dropped. It's just, it's only mentioned, you know, laser cage near the Cave of Cambro. And that's it. So if that was supposed to be Cambro.
Or at least his model. I think he means maybe the reuse of the model, just like it was reused for Herman, maybe.
Well, but if you look at Cambro, it looks completely different. Like that that caveman, prehistoric caveman, has got a very distinct face. Like, it looks nothing like Cambro. So that's why I'm saying, like, maybe that was, if that was their original idea for Cambro, and then they make him a lot more human-like, where he's got long red hair and no pupils and the blue outfit. Whereas you look at this, it's, God, I wish I could bring him, because they're completely different. I mean, like, there's night and day difference.
Yeah, I think he said that, like, there might have even been a shirt on. I couldn't remember, but I know he said he might even message me the picture to look at later, so I'll try to do that. But, well, I was going to say, we can try to move into some, a couple characters, ones that you did not see a lot of, not to say a lot of love of, just, okay, we got Dragstor and Mosquitor. And we know that, you know, they've had their very few mini-comic appearances, and Mosquitor was, like, in the Star Marvel issue, and I know the UK love to use, I think, a Dragstor in a lot of things, and I don't know how many Mosquitor, but I guess, why don't you start off with Dragstor, your first impression of maybe the figure, then even into his interpretation in the comics and stuff. What did you think of the character Dragstor?
The mini-comic, I guess it was kind of forgettable for me as a kid, because I had no recollection of it until I purchased him again, or got the mini comic on its own, like, years later. I think as it came with Extendar, that's how I got it.
Okay.
So that was my revisiting that, and I thought it was all right. The mini comic's fine, but the toy I absolutely loved because of the gimmick. Because I remember when we got him, I got him at Hills.
And we went to go visit. That's the place right there. Yeah.
I mean, I got a lot of the 86 wave at Hills. Like, I would get all three Snake Men there. I got Rio Blast there. I got Stondar is part of the 85 wave, but I got Stondar there. I got Cyclone there. I got Man at Arms there. I got a lot at Hills. A lot of the 86 wave was available there. And that's where I got Dragstor. And I had a blast playing with him at my mama's house that night. She had a tile kitchen floor. So I was in the kitchen while everyone was congregating. I'm in the just revving Dragstor up. People are watching him run all over the place. So he was a blast to play with. And it was a wonderful gimmick. It was awesome to see another cool looking Horde member. So, A-plus for Dragstor in terms of, like, creativity and visually. I always like to question anybody who likes to, you know, down any of the characters in the vintage line. And I think you'd really have a really hard case trying to prove anything wrong with Dragstor, really.
No, it was definitely a unique gimmick for, well, a Masters of the Universe character to have somebody with, you know, a wheel on his chest and to go zooming through. I mean, everybody else had, well, of course, their own unique gimmicks, but to incorporate something like that, to make an evil-looking warrior, to do that little wordplay instead of a dragster, but a Dragstor, it's just... That's what Masters is known for, that delicious wordplay. But I love putting that little, you know, the ripcord in them, because I think the only other things that had a ripcord were like the Road Ripper and Orko to do something. So Dragstor to have that, I think, kind of made it cool. Dragstor does have the pull cord, right?
He's got the ripcord, and he's got the exhaust pipes on, like, backpack.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was like, God, I almost felt like I went blank. I was like, the figures are right in back of me. But I was like, I know he has a ripcord I used to play with, but I always hated that if I had to, like, get stuck in my room sometime, because sometimes, I don't mean that I was thrown in my room because I was a bad kid losing my temper, but let's say I was able to go downstairs and go into the kitchen to that good surface where you can go across the floor. I hated sometimes in my room with the carpet. I was like, oh crap, I can't use Dragstor because I ain't going to go across the carpet. But a fun figure. And then as for his mini comic, the Warrior Machine, I love that the artist, I can't remember if his name is Carlson. I wish I could remember his name. I feel horrible that I can't remember the name of the artist that did that Warrior Machine. I thought it was something Carlson. Hopefully somebody can correct me. But
yeah, I left the book in the other room.
Yeah, he has a very unique interpretation of characters. Like, even the cover, Castle Grayskull, like the mouth, it looks like it's like decrepit. Like, you know what I mean? The mouth and, like, stretching area. And then he did it with Hordak. And then that transformation of the normal peasant. Yeah, it's spooky.
That's the shiny moment of the whole book is that shot you're talking about, the transformation from the peasant into Dragstor, like the emotion and the fear and the anguish.
Yeah.
That makes the book worth owning, because that's a beautiful splash panel of that.
It is. If you guys don't have it, I mean, I'm sure, well, you can find the mini comic, or of course get that giant Dark Horse book of all the mini comics, but It's a spooky look to see from the regular human to slightly turn with these crazy, insane yellow eyes, and then bam, then he turns into Dragstor. But to know that he's a character that Hordak thinks maybe he gave too much power to, because he's trying to create an army to, you know, of course, help him overthrow, you know, He-Man. He's doing this on Etheria, but he's still thinking of He-Man and, you know, taking over and trying to overthrow on Eternia. But he might have gave a little too much power, so he wants more to experiment with. And then along came Extendar. Not that we're having Extendar as part of the discussion, but I guess he slipped in there. He's just, he's guilty by association, because he is the name Extendar already. But you ever realize he didn't have the abilities to extend? He was called Extendar at the beginning, but he didn't get the extending powers until later in that comic when Hordak took him and gave him just a taste of the power that, you know, made him transform. But at least he wasn't evil.
Well, that, I think it's just strictly you're writing this for kids. You need to establish early on that this is Extendar. You don't call him Doug. You know,
yeah, Larry, like Doug. Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
So, but no, I mean, but it is a good mini comic. I never liked how he drew Hordak looking like a senior citizen. You know, it reminds me of like the turtle in the Tootsie Pop commercial. I've never heard anyone without biting. Yes, Mr. Owl. That's how Hordak looks in that mini comic.
Especially in the first page. I absolutely agree. The first page where he's like bending over Dragstor, he does. He's like, his mouth is all out and his arms like this.
Yeah. It's like he's missing his teeth, you know? It doesn't do him any favors. I mean, it's cool to see Hordak doing the whole mad scientist thing, but give me some ferocity in his teeth, man. Don't make him, you know, look like, you know, Mr. Turtle.
Is it weird, though? Did you notice the guy's melting technique of faces for things from Dragstor to Hordak and Castle Grayskull? I mean, I guess maybe this is shtick, the artist who did it, but I was like, it just didn't work in some scenes, especially a distant shot with Hordak. You're right, he looks decrepit and old, and even in some of the more closer-up pictures, it's like, ah, he looks a little better, but he's still... He went for something different. It's a hit and miss with
that. And I didn't like how he drew Grizzlor, kind of like with the Wolverine hairdo.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I didn't like that. I missed like the puffiness. And to me, it was like part of the iconic look of Grizzlor. I didn't like the short hairdo, even though in filmation, it's still rounded out and it fit fine. He looked like a badass to me, in regards of how he's depicted. I mean, Leech looked fine. Extendar looked fine. Everything else looked fine. I just didn't like how he drew Grizzlor and Hordak's mouth. So
yeah, those were two different, even though, like I said, unique style, and it was kind of gritty, different, but I agree, the Hordak, he looked a little too old and decrepit, and, well, I guess if you're a fan of Wolverine with the hair, maybe you enjoyed it, but otherwise, yeah, Grizzlor did look quite different with that, the extra
curly. I mean, well, hell, in comparison to, like, you know, the Leech mini-comic and Mantana's mini-comic, it's an A+.
Yeah, but it's a Disney cartoon.
So don't let us downplay, or sound like we're downplaying it so much, because it is a quality book, and in comparison, the art is very good, you know, by mini-comic standards, you know. But when you got Larry Houston and Bruce Timm and Mark Teixeira doing a lot of those books, you know, I mean, the bar is set really high when you're dealing with guys of that caliber. So to have anything less than that is like, you know, but it's still good. It's not, oh God, like an eyesore to look at. By no means.
Yeah. It's not like you're reading the mini comic and you're completely taken out of the element saying, I cannot complete or read this mini comic. You're still going to read it. You might have giggle like something. Yeah. You might giggle. You might even, hey, I can enjoy that. But no, so that's kind of his, like I said, that's his main origin. And I know that in the UK comics, I know they did the whole Théoden and Dúedain thing where Extendar and Dragstor, that when they were normal peasant friends and they got caught by the Horde and got turned into Extendar and got turned into Dragstor. So that was something different. I admit I have not read all of the UK comics. Well, because, well, I never bought them. As a kid, in the United States, I don't know that there's stuff across the world, and I just couldn't afford to buy them, you know, them all across the world. So
I wait for you to say, there was this one Christmas, my Uncle Leo came over here and he said, I bet you don't have these, Joe, and just threw down like this whole giant stack of, you know, Guatemalan and UK, you know, He-Man magazines and books. And
he's a world traveler. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, you know, come up with some sort of like cliche story of like Joe is like Ralphie in A Christmas Story. What's that over there in the corner? It's a Yugoslavian pamphlet of He-Man versus Skeletor, you know.
It's like, how did that happen? That would have been great. I would have loved to have seen that all as a kid. But yeah, I still got to do some catch up. Definitely as an adult, I got to catch up with trying to catch, I mean, we'll read these comics. I mean, it would be an absolute dream if one day Dark Horse was able to do a gigantic compendium of all the UKs. Jesus, yep. But I think that would have to be multiple volumes because, I mean, each of those comics, I think, had like three separate stories and there was a lot to it. I mean, there was a lot of pages. It would be fun, but oh, also, Grimbot did send that picture to me in on Facebook, and yes, that is the design of Cambro. It's just different seeing him with his shirt off and a different color for like the trunks and the design. So it is his face and model. I'll send it to you later too, Tommy.
All right, but I got to see that because now I feel like yeah, because I had that image embedded in my head of what that caveman looked like.
Yeah, I'll send it to you while we're still talking and discussing here, but no, and well we can transition then if you want also into now Mosquito. Well, first Dragstore, yes, we unfortunately, dang it, we never got him in the cartoon. Would have been fantastic. I would have loved to seen it. I mean, I know he might have been dumbed down. It would have been so cool to see an MYP redesign. MYP would have probably just killed it with how wicked he could have looked. Especially, like I said, if we would have got the Horde, and then here came more of the Horde later in the season, and we got Mosquito and Dragstore. It's like, oh, God. I think I would have had a brain overload if they showed up.
Yeah, and I'm especially what the Horse would have done, like, if we'd gotten a staction of Dragstore.
What a shame we didn't.
Because, I mean, I know Joe doesn't like it. Me, I think it looks badass of how Mosquito looked as a staction.
Oh, I love it. I love that sucker back there.
I thought you said you were not a fan of the staction of Mosquito.
No, I feel of all those damn stactions they did, every one has an amazing redesign. In fact, I like how the blood tanks and all looks like wings because I was
maybe
wondering...
I'm thinking of a buddy of mine who said he didn't like it. Somebody told me that they didn't like the staction. I'm like,
oh, no.
How the hell can you not like that?
Yeah,
so I, maybe it was Matt Sterner. Hell, I can't remember now. But no, I it's been amazing to see what the Horseman. Oh, he's lost again. This podcast is over.
No, I'm still here. I just need the table and knocked over the. I'm still here. Hold on.
He's pissed off about what I said about him not liking Mosquito. Everything's flipped over. This is right on schedule here, people. You're witnessing a meltdown again in the same day in less than 24 hours.
Hold on a second.
He must have like piss warm water too.
Hold on, I know I. I'm trying to get this back. Okay, I think I'm back. Am I here? Or wait, damn it, hold on. Sorry, I'm here. All right, I got to hit allow. There. Okay, I'm good. And I think I should be, okay, can you see me?
Yeah.
Okay, no, I was trying to move and shift because I was actually going to grab my Mosquito staction. And when I did, I hit the table and knocked the mirror over, knocked my tablet over. Oh, dear God, what a day. Go ahead. You were saying...
I can't remember now. The point I was trying to make was how Dragstore would have looked had the Four Horsemen in Staction form. I mean, in Classics form, he's right there. God, he looks amazing. I always liked the kind of demonic looking eyes that he had.
Shit!
Sorry,
I dropped something.
Man, it's a nuclear explosion going on over there.
I reached for him and I dropped another, but no, I mean, how can nobody like that design? Look at that blood tank wing design and the Horde logo. I love that. Oh man, I bet you he would have. Oh, damn, I got a little dust there. I'm sure he would have looked just like this probably in the MYP cartoon.
Yeah.
And I wonder, I'm sure he would have been flying because.
See, and that's what I always felt that he should be doing too. Like, I like him in vintage, like where he doesn't have wings, but to me, that version is the version that would fly. I mean, he's very insect like.
Yeah, because didn't he fly in the Star Marvel comic, or at least, like, he didn't have wings, but...
Yeah, he just flew, but that looks more like a version that is more susceptible to flying, so...
Right.
Yeah, where he would grab his prey from behind, like, up underneath their arms, and then, you know, place his stinger inside, like, their shoulder or their neck, and just drain, and then just drop their bodies into the water onto a rocky surface.
Do you have... I'm sorry, I don't know if I asked you. Do you have the Staction of Mosquito?
No, that became one of the harder ones along with Jitsu and Battle Armor He-Man to get and Squeeze, which I did manage to get. But that was one of the last ones that came out that I was not able to get.
Because I can't tell if you see this up close, but do you see those little mini arms by his sides, like by his ribs?
Yeah.
Yeah, that I think it was a creepy extra added touch to add those goofy little mini pinch your arms. Those are, and they're actually, they have like a bicep and a shoulder socket. It's a little twisted design. I love it.
Yeah, and I love how he's kind of hunched over a little bit too. You know, I that just looks really, really cool. God, yeah, it looks awesome.
Yeah, that's a damn. So again, sucks we couldn't have got him in MYP as well. But no, as for the original toy, oh man, boy did I love playing with that. It was just a cool little gimmick. It's as simple as pushing a button on his back, but you know, putting him against a character and then seeing the blood squirting and pumping. It's just, it was a twisted little unique toy. And of course, in the comic, you hear how he can drain your life force by doing it, but it was a little more insane looking in toy form. I mean, when do you have a toy as a kid to where it's like showing blood pumping in a chest, you know, like a mosquito would do?
I mean, and anybody could sit, if any one of those, you know, nutty parents in the 80s had said that, you know, oh, this is an evil toy, look what it does. You could easily say it's just the this red liquid. It was this the cheapest we could get, so this is what we put in there to make it look like it's, you know, draining energy, building. I mean, you know, obviously, yeah, you're gonna think blood. I thought blood too. You know, mosquitoes, you know, they drink blood. But you know, it's oh, hey, you sent me that picture.
I just sent it right now so you could check it. And yeah, sure as shit, that is that's Cambro's design. It just absolutely always went over my head. I never realized the similarities. As much as I like Cambro and, you know, Slash Herman, I just never noticed that about that giant. He has the same facial features and everything, but just
I just remember that giant looked a lot slimmer looking. Like, as I'm looking at that even though the model sheet, I see it, but that giant that was in Disappearing Act just still looks different.
You know what? I'm going to have to watch Disappearing Act after probably when we're done talking, just to, I guess, get a better look. I just can't remember it as well. I mean, I know you and
Now that you've done this, I feel like I have got to at least see if I can't find like a quick picture of that, because now I feel like, you know, because it questions my memory, you know, when Grimbot does that.
Yeah, you and Grimbot have the eidetic memory where you can remember everything's amazing. But while you're checking for some stuff, I want to see if there's anybody in the chat room that I missed. Okay, I see we have Iceman and Traveler. Excuse me. Iceman Traveler's here, and thank you for joining us. Also, Adam Gabbard has joined us. Thank you for joining us. I think I said JSP already. I'm getting seen out. And Jeff Pine. So, yeah, thank you all for joining us. But, yeah, definitely. Those stactions were all freaking amazing, every single one of them. I wish we could have got more. Just like Tyler was saying, I mean, it would have been great to have, obviously, Scareglow in Staction form.
Oh, God.
If that could have happened, of course, Dragstor. We didn't get Ninjor. We didn't get Ninjor in Staction.
No, Ninjor would have been, oh, man.
Yeah, I wonder what they could have did. That would have been, I mean, it would have been wicked. Because, you know, what's cool about them is they look like they were pretty much designed. I seen, you know, before I started doing customs, I seen people taking the Stactions, and there was ways they were heating up their shoulders and popping them off and then making their arms poseable, because you can see they're all sectioned off. Like, they would have been perfect action figures if they could have ever made it into an action figure form. So that would have been great.
I'm going to have to look it up, because I'm just finding everything, but I'm finding like scenes of Orko in that scene, Cringer in that scene, but I'm not actually finding, you know, the actual caveman / Cambro. God.
I was like, okay, right. Everything's changed. We're not going to talk
right.
about
I hope power. You're satisfied, Grimbot. Now you've got me all. I'm not disputing that. It's awesome to see it, but God, man.
Could you imagine Tyler's like, okay, that's it. We're switching up. We're not going to do a commentary on Problem with Power. We're going to Disappearing Act right now. We're switching up everything. Let's commentate.
This podcast is over. You just flip everything and
he has a Joe moment.
Yeah.
He's like, forget it. Shuts it off. I'm sitting here talking.
All right. Well, all right. Back to Mosquitor, though.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because he's not the only one that suffered the same fate, because with, you know, I know Clamp Champ got a few appearances in the He-Man magazine and some of the UK stuff, but I feel like the entire roster outside of Randor the Sorceress and Hordak / Buzzsaw Hordak, because Hordak's already appeared a lot, that entire group of new heroes and villains just got shortchanged drastically from Rotar and Twistoid and Scareglow, Ninjor, Snakeface. Snakeface and Squeeze, I felt like, got used a decent amount. When you see them, but Mosquitor and Ninjor and Scareglow and Clamshamp, man, that it's just so sad, you know, because that the line just kept getting better and better. And with a concept like Mosquito, I mean, it's he was depicted very well in his mini comic Inner Bustle Hordak. You know, Bruce Timm's art, he did a really good job of depicting his very strong character. Doesn't get to do a whole lot, but you know, you're again, it's one of those last mini comics you're trying to sell. King Randor, Bustle Hordak, Mosquito, the Sorceress, Flying Fist Team, and all that's going on in the same book. So,
and of course, Dragstor had to be the victim right at the beginning, walking in, yeah, where he gets drained of some of his energy from Mosquito. I thought that was crazy.
Yeah, that was cool. It was just a fun way of introducing, and that one panel, it's drawn at an angle, and it's just this very dominant introduction of Mosquito as he walks into the throne room, and then attacks Dragstor immediately. And it's cool that, you know, He-Man really, in the panel, you know, where he comes up on He-Man and grabs a hold of him and starts draining his energy. And then He-Man just becomes, like, helpless, just completely, like, weak and puny. And, of course, He-Man breaks out of it because he's got to really dig down, even kind of Hulk up like Hulk Hogan, you know, and then just, you know, knocks him off, you know.
You know what I thought was cool about that panel and also disturbing at the same time as a kid is when he was draining the power from He-Man, to me, and again, I might be wrong of how I interpreted it, when he was draining them, it looked like he said, like Mosquito was going to just completely drain him of everything. And it looked like He-Man was starting to disappear almost from existence until He-Man said, I got to go for some strength and boom. But I don't know. I don't know what the last time you looked at it, but I wanted to do another check of it just today, just to look. And it always looks like he's disappearing from like his life.
I took that as like, it's illustrating the weakness in He-Man. Like he's fading, like his energy is just being depleted. He's just becoming just a meat with eyes, a pile of bones, so to speak. That's how I didn't take it, as that he's completely like dissolving. It was just a way of, I just see it as illustrating the weakness that's being shown, like just fading away.
Like he's, you know, fading away, and then they really drew it as, I know what you mean. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, not actually literally fading away, but you know, you have to come up with ways of depicting something that, you know, it's not in animation or in live action, so you can't really look inside the mind. You have to draw it. And some stuff, you know, that's, you know, can be confused, whereas I'm sure the guy drawing is just like, how do you confuse that? You know, how do you think that? But, you know, clearly, you know, there's two sides of the spectrum here, and there may be a third one, you know, depending on
what you're cool
seeing that.
It was just interesting to see, you know, a different powers because, you know, the toy has blood. This is talking about draining. It also, I believe that he was able to drain some of the power from the Sorceress. And I couldn't remember if it was Hordak that helped to create that fake illusion of the Sorceress.
He did.
To go. Yeah, so it's like, I just thought it was interesting showing the different abilities that's going on with this draining power that Mosquito has. I thought that was kind of refreshing.
And it just shows, it's, I mean, because, you know, all these characters had to be depicted in a very strong way. You can't, you know, package a mini comic with this new villain and have him, you know, being smacked around immediately. You have to bring them in as a dominant character. And I think it's a hard balance when you're being instructed to include two or three other Hordesmen or two or three other evil warriors along with this new guy, you know, and trying to make him stand out. And, you know, you're packaging with this mini comic the figure's being packaged with this mini comic, so you naturally think that this character's going to be featured prominently. And if he's not used in a very threatening manner, then you feel like, oh, this guy's kind of weak. And fortunately, for the most part, you know, all the villains were kind of depicted relatively strongly. I was trying to think of an example. Like, I know Double Edged Sword came with Cobra Khan. And our good boy Larry drew that, but Cobra's only used in two panels, and that's it. So I used to wonder, like, you know, was he a last minute addition to the book? Like Larry's being told, here's this script, and when he's like, can I make some of the characters Asian? So he's writing it here. They probably say, look, make sure you include this new figure that we got coming out too. That's what I kind of figured would happen with Cobra Khan, because when I got Cobra Khan, he came with Double Edged Sword, and I got a little older, wondering like, why isn't he featured prominently? Is there like in Clash of Arms, you see Jitsu and Clawful on the cover, and they're featured pretty heavily in it. Spike or is in it a lot. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I kind of understood at an early age that the comic they came with should feature, you know, whoever it came with. And I think my Whiplash came with Secret Liquid of Life, And at that point, I was too young to even kind of put together, why isn't Whiplash in this? Because he was in Clash of Arms. So I didn't really question that. I was just like looking at all the mini comics profusely. So, but to bring it back to Mosquitor, though, I mean, he's a character that I think it's universally beloved. I think everybody thinks he's a wonderful character, a very evil, demonic looking character. But unfortunately, he's just not at the forefront a lot. You know, your casual He-Man fan probably doesn't know Mosquito, at least most of them. I'm not saying that some don't, especially if you collect the classics line. But, you know, I think a lot of casual fans are aware of the Horde, but probably just not as how in deep the Horde is, like among of how, like, extended the ranks are from like Dialamog and Octavia and right. Colonel Blast and stuff.
And it almost, no, it, to some degree, you almost wonder if maybe a lot of the impressions of the Horde might come just from the cartoon, the She-Ra cartoon itself. And since they've never seen Mosquito or Dragstor, the two characters that are kind of for them are forgettable. Maybe they just didn't have the toys and maybe they watched the cartoon more. Maybe they got out of collecting. You know, it always is interesting. It also makes you think if Mosquito did pop up in Princess of Power, you know, how would they, because you know how in the cartoons for the later seasons of Masters, and of course with Princess Power, they couldn't have some things too wicked and intimidating looking, you know. Ugh. We've seen it happen with a lot of characters. So you think Mosquito, man, I doubt they would have showed pumping blood, and we already have Leech that does the draining power, so yeah. What would they have done to poor Mosquito?
I almost feel like they would, instead of, I almost feel like Filmation would have had an issue with having him taking his needle nose and puncturing a Hero. I see it as like he would probably fire a blast from his needle nose, and it would retract, you know, somebody's life force or their energy back into him, and you would see like, you know, like it pumping like energy into his body or something like that. I because with Leech, he never put his mouth on anybody; he just put his suction cups on their head. You know, right. So you never got to see these guys do what they really were supposed to do a lot of times. So Mosquito, I feel like he would never ever penetrate somebody's skin like He-Man's shoulder or She-Ra. I just see him firing some sort of, you know, draining blast from his nose or something.
You know, I don't, it's weird. It's weird how things transition from toys or comics or art into the cartoon, because, you know, I never really thought about that. Like with Leech, for like the back of his card art, you see him using his lips to suck the power from Man-at-Arms, you know, into his back. And of course, as the toy, his lips will suck onto something. And as for the suction cups on his hands, seem like those things never really worked.
They weren't deep. Like a suction cup is kind of like deep, you know, kind of rounded out like this, where they were kind of flat. So you really couldn't, you know, stick it to a window. Whereas the mouth had like I think the mouth worked a little bit better. Oh, plus it worked, you got the trigger on the back.
Yeah, trigger on the back, and then it'd stick on something. So, but then when he comes into the cartoon, he's not using his mouth; he's using his hands. And plus, that probably would have looked twisted as hell to see that crazy, insane mouth and lips and tongue sucking the life force on somebody. It just would have looked off. It would have looked really.
Well,
strange.
I mean, it would. I'm sure NYP would have introduced it pretty good too. You know, I think we would have gotten to see like full on, like, you know, his jaws dripping with like ooze and slime as he gets ready to like grab a hold of you, and use the suction cups to kind of keep a good strong grip on you, and then uses his mouth to drain, you know, any kind of, you know, strength that you have out of you to help, you know, feed him. And Mosquito would be the same way, but we'd probably see Mosquito fly, and just, you know, constantly have like an insatiable hunger, just like drain. The drain. The more people he drains, he just becomes like, you know, impervious to pain or something like that too, where he's just becomes unstoppable because he's drained so much energy. Not that I want to sit there and say that if he drained He-Man's energy, he would become as strong as He-Man. No. But just the type of strength he would drain. Like if he drained Fisto, we like to consider Fisto right below He-Man in terms of strength, he'd become pretty damn strong. You know, but not, you know, the most powerful man in the universe kind of thing, but draining He-Man's strength would make him a force to be reckoned with, but not the most strongest man in the universe. We don't want to get too crazy where everybody's as strong as He-Man like they did NYP a lot, I felt.
Yeah, I always say it, I really wish we could have got at least a third season of NYP. I couldn't remember who said it or where I read it Oh, that actually rhymed, and I wasn't trying to do that. I thought somebody said that there was a good portion of season three conceived or conceptualized. Is this true that they had a lot of ideas going on for season three of
I
it?
idea wise, and I know we've mentioned this before on older podcasts, but the idea was that they would introduce the Horde, they would come in and pretty much take over and make the heroic warriors kind of like renegades on the run from the Horde and trying to, recapture Eternia from the grip of the Horde. We would have gotten Clamp Champ, would have been introduced in season three as well. And then and that's pretty much all that was, at least I think, released to the masses. I'm sure there may be some fans out there who got a little bit more extra insight. We find out that Skeletor would have teamed up with He-Man to help take down Hordak. We don't know, but that was what season three was going to be. It was going to be heavily Horde based, and I still felt like with how the Snake Men were not portrayed consistently strong and threatening as they should have been, that's what really worried me about what would have happened to the Horde.
Yeah,
Would the
and I
Horde
don't.
been
Yeah, for me, I'll be honest. I didn't do any of the research to look for any of the behind the scenes information or any of the Bible stuff for possibly
Well,
MYP
th
that
this
could
was
be
stuff I
out there.
think when the show was canceled, this was information. I remember reading this on He-Man.org as like
Oh.
prominent information, like from reliable sources, not just
Oh, okay.
some random guy. Said, I think this was gonna. I know this was information that was released saying that this is the direction they were going to go in. And I forgot how I read that Clamp Champ was going to be introduced, but as far as I know, they were going to continue on with that lame ass storyline of Snake Man at Arms, and Clamp Champ was going to come in and take over that role. With that man at arms field of being the weapons technician and the kind of like a field commander and things like that, which at that point I'm like, that's fine. Snake Man at Arms
And
sucks,
I was going to say, Grimbot, I don't know if he's just messing around to poke the bear if he was serious, but he said they were going to reveal Randor and Keldor were brothers. Because remember, that was never officially said in
and
that cartoon. But I don't know if he's just, if he's joking or if he was
no,
serious in
and that
making
may
it.
have been because we all know by this point before the show came out that Randor and Keldor were going to be brothers. And we've even said before, there was no hint at all of that connection in the first and second season. So you kind of feel like, well, are you going to do it or not? And would have made sense because you could almost really build up the tension. Because I'd imagine the Heroic Wars and the Evil Wars were going to have to team up to take out the Horde in season three if the Horde came in and took over Eternia. Everybody's claim is under siege. So you kind of feel like brothers are going to have to team up to take down a common threat. So that
Would have
would have
been
been
cool.
interesting. I'm still not behind the whole Skeletor Randor brother thing. I don't think that's not serving much of a purpose. But that was still would have been cool to see, though, I think.
Yeah, it would have. It would have. But also, those were two characters, like I said, we wanted to discuss because you don't hear many discussion about Dragstor and Mosquitor, but great figures. And of course, at least we got one awesome statue out of it. And.
And I was glad. I mean, both classics versions of Mosquito and Dragstor are phenomenal looking. I the you know the I got Mosquito right behind Leech, oddly enough, on my shelf right next to me here, and Dragstor's on the other side there. So I got one whole shelf devoted to the Horde
Do you have a post
and
with Mosquito's pointer like right in Dragsaur's back or something since he's in back of him like he's draining his power?
No. I mean, say Mosquito is standing behind Leech, and I got Dragstor on the other
Oh.
side of the roster behind Mantenna and Modulok.
Oh, gotcha. All right.
Yeah, because I have to have like my favorite members always to like the Evil Warriors. I've got Blade, Webstor, Triclops, Clawful, Ninjor, Too Bad, Webstor, Cobra Khan, and I had to put Twister in front, otherwise people wouldn't be able to see him. So I had
Yeah.
to always have to make sure that those villains are always in the front at all times. And then I've got, the higher ups on a like higher pedestal. That way, you got Skeletor, King-Iss, and Mum-Ra on the same level, along with Batros, and I got, Jitsu, and I got Chakotay and Mask, and both Evil Seeds on the horse shelf, kind of off on their own kind of thing. So,
That's an awesome setup. Like I said, they're all freaking awesome figures anyways.
yeah,
But
and I would just love to see Dragstor Mosquito, and I want to thank Axel Jimenez. Because he did them on that poster for Mad Duck posters, where you've got the entire roster of the Horde. There's like two versions. There's the cartoon version, which has got cartoon version Dial-A-Mug and cartoon Catra, and then you've got the toy version, which is like the prototype Dial-A-Mug and the toy version of Catra, the prototype version of Octavia. But
oh,
it's got Dragstor with his engines let me look at. I got just because I cannot. I do not want to quote this and get this wrong here because I'm so finicky about that. Because okay. After recording Beyond Retro today, I remember it was Ted Denslow who we were recording for basketball. I was taking a shower. I'm like, Ted Denslow, that's who that was. I was so mad that I goofed that.
I would have never been able to guess that. And
but I'm like, here I am, like, taking a shower. I'm like, this is what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking about, you know, goofing that. Okay. Yeah, in this. Oh, good grief. Come on, let me view it.
You could maybe even put it up to the camera.
Okay. Yeah, this is it. But it's Axel Drew, Mosquito kind of crouched down in the front, and you've got Dragstor, like his exhaust pipes, they're kind of making him hover in the air a little bit. I don't know if you're going to be able to see it very well.
Yeah, try to get close. And also remember, you're going to have to speak so it shows up.
Okay, I'm trying. Well, see. Okay, there's Dragstor. If you can see it, like, see his exhaust pipes are kind of having him levitating the air a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was such an excellent touch. Let me hold up a little closer there. If you can see that, all right. And then yes. Mosquito is over on the far corner, all crouched down like that, which makes me think of the Staction version there. And just to let people know too, one of my personal favorites, Dial-A-Mug in his cartoon form is up there behind Catra. Because when I saw the poster initially, it was the prototype version. I went, oh, that's cool. But I'm like, God, I'd love to have the cartoon version. Then I came across that Mad Duck is offering different versions of that poster at their website. So it's Axel's beautiful artwork depicting the entire roster of the Horde. The Horde, the Wraiths, Imp, everybody that's been a part of the Horde is on that poster. So if you're a big Horde fanatic and you love Axel's artwork or both, do yourself a favor and check that out at madduckposters.com. There's a free plug to those guys and Axel, who were responsible for that beautiful artwork.
Beautiful art. Yeah, thank you definitely for sharing that. But okay, well now we're gonna transition. I mean, this is when you got to split screen if you can. But we're gonna do a commentary on an episode, the problem with power. And of course, this is one a lot of people love. I got into Tyler. Has openly said a lot of times he's not really too much of a fan of this. He doesn't really enjoy this episode as much as other fans do. And he kind of wondered, Jesus, what is all the hubbub about? And I was like, okay, I'll tell you what. How about we just talk about it? Because I'd love to just hear his point of view. I'll do mine as we do it as well. But this is an episode you can find on YouTube. All you have to type in is Problem with Power, and it'll pop up. And we split screen, so you could still, listen to us and watch. You can always just mute the video for the problem with power if you want to hear our commentary, but we'll split it. But I'll let you do all the extra details, Tyler, telling people what to do, and we'll get the sucker rolling.
Okay, I'm using James He Talks, the He-Man official YouTube channel. Of course, I've got YouTube Red, so there's no commercials, so you may not want to use that version, because if you got YouTube Red, you don't have to worry about commercials. But if you get your set up on YouTube or DVD or VHS, I'm going to count down from three, and then when I say play, we'll all hit play together. 3, 2, 1, play. Bing. What Joe said, I've never been a fan of this episode. It has some good moments. The story is good, but it's the dialogue. The dialogue destroys this, what could be a really, really good idea. And I know, and I remember before I even got the bootleg set on VHS, this episode was hyped to hell. I mean, it was the early days that of He-Man.org and other various He-Man websites that were available. This was such a celebrated episode, so I beforehand was led to believe this would be an episode that would just revolutionize what you think about He-Man, essentially. And when I saw it, I'm like, it's a goofy as hell episode. Like, the dialogue is silly. There's nothing other than seeing the transformation back to Prince Adam and that beautiful night shot at Grayskull where Adam gives up being He-Man, that's it. I just felt like it's just Skeletor comes off as just a goofy trickster as opposed to a guy who wants to break He-Man's soul. And I felt like a segment of Skeletor talking in secret to General Tataran, talking about how we're going to beat He-Man without telling the audience what he's going to do.
Did they get General Tataran's name from the beginning with that Tataranowski guy's name?
Yeah, Tom Tataranowski. That's who General Tataran is named after, is Tom Tataranowski. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, as a kid, I mean, well, of course, we'll be getting to the parts anyways when they do happen. I found a lot of it kind of, you know, disturbing, meaning the thought of if there could have been death in the cartoon. We know that we're going to find out a whole plot anyways about, you know, Tataran, General Tataran here, since he's a goblin that, you know, he has no heart, which of course means he has no heartbeat, and it leads to a whole plot with Skeletor trying to, you know, do something to hopefully trick He-Man and then make him lose his confidence to where he doesn't want to do anything anymore. But I think it was one of the first times for me, remember hearing like somebody getting killed or saying, "You killed somebody," because I was like, I don't know how many times they said that on Filmation, but as a kid, I remember when I heard it, it sounded disturbing to me to hear the word killing and like somebody dying. Was that said much? I mean, you would know more than me because you have an eidetic memory for the show. Did they mention about killing and dying in the show ever?
Not that I'm aware of, because they specified in the behind the scenes too about this episode that, you know, this was something that they really wanted to, you know, they obviously couldn't put death in the show, but they felt like it was important. It was an important enough idea and a good story that they felt like, you know, we can have death in the show without actually killing somebody, because the whole point of the story is to really put He-Man through this emotional roller coaster of thinking that he had committed the ultimate crime. But and that's why I felt like it still could have been a really good episode. I hadn't watched the episode in many years prior to today. I mean, I had most of it memorized because I'd watched it enough times where I'm like, you know, thinking each time I'd watch it, maybe I'll think differently. And today was no different. I watched it and I just felt like Skeletor, I think if this story had been done in season one, it would have kicked me in the nuts of how good it would have been, because Skeletor would have been portrayed as just, you know, even though his plan is a very evil plan, he comes off as more like a goof doing this plan as opposed to the sinister Lord of Destruction that we know him to be in season one.
Or you
And
kind of maybe
granted,
referring to that part where later on where he does the na na na, you can't get me, or
yeah,
whatever
when
he's
you got
doing. Is
him
that what
doing that and you got him doing like the kind of dainty hand thing, you know, which may have just been an animation error or something like that, but his dialogue doesn't sound menacing enough. I mean, from the beginning to the end, he comes off as just, and it falls victim to you know, what most of the latter episodes of season two. Season one or season two episodes start out relatively strong for the most part, and they gradually get weaker and sillier and more comedic. I mean, and I, you know, there's some episodes, you know, James has ranked like his top 10 silliest episodes. Two of those episodes on that list are episodes I personally like and don't seem as silly. So that's why I kind of feel like, you know what? I am open and with my opinion about, I just find this episode, it could have been really good. It's just too silly. The whole episode is just, it's not, it has its moments, yes, but overall, I just felt like the dialogue is very weak. It's not strong. It's not as convincing as it should be. And I also feel like the story needs two parts. I felt like if season one had House of Chakotay, this should have been season two's two-parter, The Problem with Power, where you really deal with,
So in your
because
mind, do you think they were trying too much in just one episode, like they were trying to do things too
yeah,
quickly and
because
just
when I
do a
was
lot?
watching it today, I'm thinking, and this is all honest thoughts that I'm thinking as I'm watching this. This is a story that needed two parts, because I really feel like the first part needed to be setting up the accident, and He-Man really did, you know, delving deep into like, I've committed the ultimate crime. I've gone against everything I've believed in and acted foolishly. And really, I mean, just felt like there's so much that they really could have built up, because his whole revelation and, you know, and all, it just feels, everything feels so rushed. And I know it's because they only got 22 minutes to tell the story, but they could have scrapped, you know, something like The Greatest Show in Eternia and given us an extra episode for Problem with Power. I just, and you know, it is. It's a good story that could, you know, see, look, as we're watching this, right, this is all the silly stuff, you know, and He-Man decided, oh, I've had it with you right now, Skeletor, because you just try to zap. Like, it's just not executed properly. And we're getting ready to head up on the chase sequence, you know, the game of tag around here. You know, this is just, there's, it's not serious enough with the message and story that we're going to be told. And I guess maybe it was done intentionally to kind of keep everything super lighthearted for what He-Man's going to be dealing with. But I felt like even for a kid's cartoon, there were some very serious episodes in season one and in season two. And And it could have been so much more, and it's just not.
I just like this part here where he's ready to punch, you know, Man at Arms is like, no, like he knows the danger of what could happen. It's still, I remember as a kid how it kind of struck me of this being front, like, oh my God, wait a second, you know, could he kill somebody, even though we know it's a trap? And I liked hearing the fear and the, you know, the worry in Man at Arms of what he said and what was going to happen. But this, like, this part, I don't, like, you know, seeing the Fright of Orko and Man at Arms and everything, and after, you know, He-Man, when you see when he comes out of this rubble and he thinks, you know, hey, everything's, you know, peachy and rosy, I think they got what they were trying to come across with that moment of him realizing that, my God, somebody's under there. That moment of his look and that music they played, it gave me chills as a kid. It was scary just to know He-Man is now thinking, I killed somebody. Because as you know, with his code and his honor, that's not something he would do. I think they did that really well, you know, just the reaction from the people. But He-Man himself, that was memorable to me. I mean, I know what you're saying, like, you know, maybe, you know, a lot of the parts were goofy and it didn't come across, you know, like, it's probably as, not evil, but as serious as you would thought it should be.
Well, I mean, look, I get, like, look, we are dealing with children here, so if you're going to take an adult, you know, storyline, I mean, adult, I use it loosely, for children, treat the whole story just as serious as you're treating the story itself. We're telling a life and death story here, so that's why I felt like if you're going to do it, let's go all the way here. Not to say we got to get very gloom and doom here and go all Christopher Nolan, you know, Dark Knight Rises BS. But
was this done like at the time where they had to, you know, like you said, tone back some of the episodes?
Well, because like I said, when you see the beginning of season one, you've got Cat and the Spider, Disappearing Dragons, Betrayal of Stratos, The Arena, another General Tatarin episode, Ice Age Comets, very good quality episodes, and then there's this gradual decline in quality throughout the rest of the season. I mean, I can't explain it, but it just almost feels
like, because
they also held back a part of season two to make a technical season three, but even though it's all one season, they held back half of season two to give us a third season.
I will say, though, I could understand, like, if we had the season one early episode version of Skeletor, as we know him, if that would have been the one that could have been in this episode, the tone would have been even darker. I understand what you meant there. That whole killing scene and just the thought of what He-Man thought he did, I mean, for me, it grabbed me as a kid, and it still kind of gets me, you know, just knowing the moral and the codes that the man stands for and the thought that he just killed somebody, like he was thinking too aggressively, you know, he was more focused on Skeletor, not looking and thinking about, okay, this didn't have good support for that thing that they're creating, didn't look around him, and, like, you know, Skeletor is trying to, you know, well, this is his whole point, he wants him to fall into this trap, so it's Skeletor's trap, it worked, and He-Man believed he killed someone. But I know what you mean, there's parts of this, but this is it right here, this is the other
moment. This is the money shot for this episode.
The music and everything, the animation, the extra details and tones, his hair blowing.
It is beautifully well done. You can clearly tell this is the moment they were building this episode around.
Yes.
Is this whole sequence here. And it shows because it's given the most care and detail.
It is. And when he said that,
excuse me,
the first we finally seen how he turns back to Prince Adam, that was another moment. It's like, wow, that's how he does it. It was, and such a sad look on his face. It got me. It did. It got me as a kid. And it still kind of gets me that
way. You know, had I seen this as a kid, maybe it would have made me feel differently. Of course, there's some episodes I hated as a kid that I love now as an adult. So, you know, I just kind of feel like they got a lot of good dialogue and written included in a lot of the stories. I just hate that for such an ambitious idea that we're given some of, you know, I mean, it's obviously not the worst dialogue in the world, but it just feels like they were given the most childish dialogue for such a serious story. You know, I mean,
do you think that was why? I mean, do you think they didn't want it to be too much over the top? Like you said, almost maybe gloom and doom, like maybe it'll really frighten the hell out of kids.
Well, or, I mean, obviously, you know, the change in pace is due to the parents complaining. So obviously, I mean, I kind of feel like they couldn't have been too worried about it, because if they were getting the backlash from parents saying it was promoting witchcraft and all that other bull crap,
yeah,
you know, then obviously they're not too bothered about including a story where He-Man thinks he's killed somebody. So I felt like, you know what, they still should have kept a more serious tone with Skeletor. A sequence where he's sitting there at his throne and talking out loud to General Tataram, like, to defeat He-Man, we've tried everything, but we've never actually tried to break his soul. And, like, there's one thing He-Man refuses to do, and that's how we can break it. Like, just him talking, contemplating, and not giving away the plan, but really relishing the idea that this could truly defeat He-Man, and I not even have to touch him. Not even have to raise a sword on my Havoc Staff. This one act of crime could break He-Man permanently, and I never have to do anything else to stop He-Man again. I won't have to raise another army or anything. Just showing the malice and the desire to break He-Man like that, I think would have helped tremendously. Just showing that this is not fun and games. Play tag with me, He-Man. Oh, I got you. I tricked you. You know, not playing it up as so much as a trick. It's like, I want to break He-Man. And I think you could get away with that in a children's cartoon like this.
Well, you could, possibly. And just like you said, there's always different interpretations. You know, like, I watched this as a kid, and you said you watched it at a different point. And
I watched it as a teenager in 11th grade. That was the first time I saw it, yeah.
Yeah, and as, like I said, I just still, I keep having thoughts of when I was a kid. You know, like, when he dropped the sword into the bottomless chasm, I was like, it's gone. And then right now, when you hear about Skeletor has that gate that's open, it's going to bring in this Goblin army, and he can't be He-Man no more. That scared the shit out of me.
That's all right. It's okay to get emotional here and there.
No, it does. Yeah. No, but it did. It scared me as a kid, thinking, how can this happen? There's no more He-Man. And I like seeing that Teela manned up. I mean, you know the phrase, but I like how she showed, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to take care of that gate. If we could get one person in there and use this damn bomb, I forgot, Mezotronic or whatever the hell they called it, but some
Mezotronic
kind of
bomb. Yeah.
But yeah. Get that Mezotronic bomb, place it there, blow the gate to hell and disintegrate it. Or I like that she took the initiative, because you're thinking, hey, there's still so many other heroic warriors that could have did it. You know, like, what? My God, there could have been Stratos, Ram Man, Buzz Off, Cyclone. I mean, I don't know if half of them were introduced at this time, but you know what I mean.
Well, I mean, but obviously, you know, it's a story. You can't have too big cast of characters for this story. You got to keep it simplistic, because that's not the point of the story. It's you know,
but it was
He-Man's
good that she did that. I like that she took.
It is, but, you know, she gets kind of taken out relatively quickly by Skeletor. So you kind of, you know, of course,
but, you know,
if she's not, He-Man doesn't have his redemption, so she has to be taken out. So
yeah, you got to create those situations. I mean, no doubt you have to create those situations. But
and
I like the animation
of Prince Adam struggling here emotionally.
Yeah, this I noticed as a kid, again, there were so many unique new pieces of animation and parts in this episode that I've never seen before. So it's definitely recognizable when you're like, I don't remember that. You know, that was, like you said, it was so eye-catching when you seen something different, because your mind was so trained as a kid to see so many of the same things that when there was something different, it was quite noticeable and memorable.
Yeah, and of course, that's one of the perks of Season 2 is that we get a lot more extra animation. We get some more details in the anatomy, especially on He-Man. So there were perks, but there were also cons too, and that goes. And I mean, dialogue's a big thing with me. You know, you can have a simple story, but if you got some dialogue I can get behind and support with the heroes and villains, you can tell a simple, cops and robbers episode kind of, you know, thing where He-Man just chasing Skeletor to stop him from stealing from the royal treasury. But if I can get behind that dialogue, I can appreciate that. You know, it's more about the execution.
No doubt. And now Orko just told Prince Adam about it was all a trap, and now he's got to somehow get that sword back. He's going to go get it. It was one weird thing is when they're showing him back at Prince Adam in that spot. Oh, wait. I love that shot of Castle Grayskull. I just had to say that part where it was like kind of under Castle Grayskull as he was going down for a second.
That was a cool,
it was a cool little
shot.
Yeah, but when Adam was standing by the palace, and in back of him, I know it was supposed to be the wall of the palace, but it almost looked like a purple sky for some reason. Every time I seen that, it reminded me more of sky than the palace wall, but you know, that's here or there. It's no,
really.
But no, I like that. And you see, he's going down to go find his sword, and of course, he flew off. And we'll get back to that in a second. But here you go, Teela doing her little infiltrating. So it's cool seeing her figuring her little plot, her little plan. And she probably realizes and knows to get close to that gate, she's going to have to get captured. So she's willing to take that risk.
And I really, when I came across this episode too, I thought it was great with the inclusion of the goblins again, you know, from the arena, which is, it was cool to have that kind of continuity, to have somebody that Skeletor respects. I mean, I would love to see this faction revisited in other media. You know, General Tataran being a close ally of Skeletor that they team up on, you know, on occasions, and the Goblin Army, you know, their own kind of well, it's another faction. You got the Horde, the Snake Men, the Warriors, you got the Goblins.
Oh, yeah.
I think it would be quite cool to have a fourth faction thrown into the mix.
Oh, no doubt. Here we go. I was going to say, now we get to see the spider. I'll let you know, as a kid, damn it, I had issues with spiders. Really bad issues. So this episode and this part, of course, always creeped the hell out of me. I was like, oh, my God. And then he sees the sword. I was like, please get that damn sword. Because that's, it just, hated spiders. Not so much now.
Yeah, never had too much of an issue with spiders back then.
They always would fall on me for some reason. And I thought that, you know, I was wondering how they get the transformation. Of course, they show him standing, you know, just for animation's sake.
Yeah.
But now he's He-Man. So that was pretty cool. And, he, of course, he doesn't even kill the spider. The spider's still hanging around on its little bit of a web. But I was like, oh, man, He-Man's back. I remember when he fell and you seen the sword in that web. It was like, yes. So, you know, they have its moments. It has the moments where it scares the shit out or the heck out of you, wonder what's going on, and then has the moments where, bam, he's back and you can breathe again. You know, it can make you anxious. I remember as a kid, I was pretty anxious during this episode, wondering what was going to go on the whole entire time.
Yeah, that certainly wasn't the case for me watching this for the first time. I just felt so, you know, it was just like kind of underwhelming, so to speak. It was not. I would never put this on like one on the worst episodes list. No, I strictly kind of merited it up to the fact that people have praised the hell out of this episode. I think it's more about the let the power return moment than anything else. And of course, the ending where he's carrying Teela off, you know, is the high moments, because the rest of it, I mean, I don't hear people talk about, oh, remember that one moment where Skeletor, you know, said nah 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 and, you know, stuff like that. Oh, isn't it great? Like, no, it's always those two moments. And
you know, for me, actually, the thing where he's carrying away at the end, which was, you know, cute and touching or whatever, that wasn't more of the memorable stuff for me. Sure, it was the I have the power thing, but it was the whole thought of the whole death, the killing, the words I've never heard before, how He-Man would actually feel about it if he did that. That's what stuck with me the most. And I don't know for others if they ever really mentioned it, but that's why this episode meant so much to me, was just seeing how He-Man is struggling with what he thought he just did. And also the words of die and killing of something, which I don't remember ever hearing in the cartoon. It's kind of shocking. Your mind will remember things as a kid. You're like, when you hear it for the first time, you're like, I don't think I've ever heard that.
No, and He-Man is portrayed quite well in this episode too, and with his redemption story, but
and his super speed there. You've seen him running like a Flash, which was new too.
Yeah, which was fun to see. I mean, we've seen him run fast plenty of times, like Curse of the Spellstone, things like that. And that stock sequence of him kind of running, kind of crouched down, like he's really digging into
the... Oh, yeah, I like that. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
But, yeah, that was still cool to see, much like the Flash / Superman there. And of course, another moment where he thinks, you know, Teela's, you know...
He did it again, that damn murderer. Yeah. Just killed somebody twice. No.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a good moment, and I like to, as people know, I like to support a lot of things that James says about He-Man, and I agree that this would have been the prime way to have ended the series instead of the Cold Zone being the lackluster episode. That was, you know, the last episode should have been Problem with Power.
Walking into the Sunset, yeah.
This would have been a proper way to send off the series, you know, had they known, which I don't think they did know, but... You know, and I think it's even put on the DVD release that this is the last episode and not the Cold Zone.
Oh, okay.
And like intentionally, I'm like, okay, I think I know why they did that, because this was a better choice to make the last episode to wrap up the series as opposed to the Cold Zone, where it's just this random episode thrown at the tail end of the series featuring Cobra Khan and the Land Shark. You know,
right? Well, that was. No, so there you go. And yeah, I've been wanting, like I said, I've wanted to do that for a while because I wanted to hear your point of, you know, why you really didn't enjoy it that much. And at least now everybody can hear that and respect everybody's opinion. So,
I mean, look, and I granted, you know, when we do this podcast, I don't do this hoping everyone's going to see my point of view and just side with me. Like, I get, you know, this episode has been widely celebrated for years. The Filmation staff were very proud of this episode and the message they were trying to tell. I just felt like, you know, it could have been better. You know, not to say it wasn't a good idea. It was a great idea, and I think it was a simple, like keeping the cast simplistic. You know, was nice, and the inclusion of General Tatarant. I just felt like it had some work that needed to be done, and I think it needed a second part. I think we could have gotten or just benefited a lot more to having the second part to really flesh out this big, you know, incident that happens to He-Man, and it's quickly, you know, rushed about. And I just felt like, dude, of some of the later season two episodes that we got, I mean, you could throw a dart at any of them and say, okay, axe that one and let's extend this story here. So, you know, I don't say this to be malicious, you know, and I don't expect people to agree with my point of view on how I feel about this episode. I just feel it's a good idea. It just wasn't executed as well as it could have been. You know, I'm not, you know, there's other episodes I would rip to shreds that, you know, hopefully, I don't know. I'm sure maybe at some point in later years, we'll do a commentary for, you know, here, there, Skeletors everywhere, which I only enjoyed because the Too Bad and Modulok and Whiplash and Cyclone and Mossman are all featured in the same episode. And that was the only reason I would revisit that episode on VHS, just so I could see those quick shots of those characters, because I hated the rest of the episode.
So the next one we're going to have to discuss is what, the search for the VHO or whatever the hell they call it or whatever that one is?
Bullshit, man. We ain't doing that one. No, no, I told Joe, I said what I wanted to do was Disappearing Dragons because I get two hard nipples over that episode, man. And Joe was like, nah. And I'm like, well, okay, Joe, you dictate how we do things on this podcast here.
Well, of course, we're going to have to now look at the video animation from, what was it, Disappearing Act or whatever, so we could see this troll creature.
Disappearing Act, you know, made just for fun. And, God, I'm not going to challenge Grimbot because I respect the hell out of him too much. But I'm just like, God, I know that giant in my head. And I'm like, I do not see.
I'm looking
at it again as I'm talking to you here. It's like, I do not see.
Look, have a look at this thing.
I don't, because he just looks... Like the side profile looks like it, and he just like I, God,
this is great. See, this is the era of yes, where you can have Grimbot, Tyler, you could have James Etoch. They could all have their crazy Filmation just episodes because these guys know it forwards, inside out, and backwards. I'm just like, I remember that Camro looked like that Herman guy. That's all I can do. I can't do much from there.
I mean, there's some episodes like the Time Wheel. I'm like, no, I take great pride in not having that episode memorized. And, you know, it's just, you know, there's some I just watched the one time because they were not enjoyable to watch. So I'm like, no, I'm not going to go back and rewatch Beauty and the Beast or... what's another? Well, Star Child. I haven't seen that one since I was little, and for good reason. I'm not going to sit down and watch it just like, maybe it got better. Like, no, it's not going to get better.
Yeah, that one was a hard pill to swallow with that Star Child one. I haven't heard many people really praise that episode. There might be people who love the hell out of it. But
well, I mean, and there's episodes that I feel like, you know, and that's the whole point of this podcast, we do this commentary, is that there are other episodes outside the cliche favorites that are heavily overlooked. So ones that Joe likes, one that I like, some that we both like, and then there's some that I like to call it James Etoch on. Like he's got Damar the Demon.
I want to say two things to you. T-Rex, first let me say Who Dat Whale is here, and that's actually Mike Patnod, who I mentioned you earlier, buddy.
So okay.
I actually did. And we got somebody telling you, they said, do your research, sir, go back and watch. And that's Val Staples who said that to you, T-Rex.
All right, Val, what do I need to go back and do my research on? Which part are you telling me to go back and do my research on? I have to know which part he's telling me to do that.
Hey, you might just be being sarcastic with you. Maybe he's talking about where you kind of look at the crazy ogre slash creature thing.
Let me tell you something right now here, Val.
He's gone, lost his mind.
I have had, not this particular copy, but I've got another copy of this VHS, which features Disappearing Act. It was the first, like, adult purchase I made as a kid. I used my allowance to buy a used copy at Beyond Video of this volume of He-Man that came with Disappearing Act and Evil-Lyn's Plot. I have that episode embedded in my brain of what that caveman looked like. So if that's what he's telling me, that I need to do my research.
Actually, Well, here's the thing.
I'm just saying, it looks nothing like Camera when I watch that episode. I mean, I even have. Oh, I know.
Well, he's lost it. Here we go.
I'll sell this right now because I bought this episode on iTunes when the episodes were available on iTunes. I'll pull it up right now.
Dude, he said, well, basically, he says, no idea. He said, I'm just razzing you. But he sure got you worked up to hell there, right there. He's like, yeah, I got to find it. I know it's here. I know it's the same thing that Deuceman just showed me, but I'm still going to show that he was still quite different in that damn episode. It's like,
hell,
he's
you
like,
jerk.
He's like, I don't care. I'm just going to sit here and watch this right now on my little tablet. I'm going to bring this up.
Oh, see, now that Val knows Val just shows up and he lit a fire under my ass without all he said was, do your research.
Do your research.
You know, and that's it. And I'm just like, that does it.
Okay.
I've just about got it here. Hang on.
Here we go. Yeah, when you get the picture or whatever, you have to put it up to the screen, too.
Oh, no,
to
I
show
will, because I'm gonna freeze frame it here.
Here we go. Oh, God. Grimbot had to bring
this up. I'm almost at it here.
He's almost there, guys. He's almost there. He's almost
okay.
at it. Okay, here we go. And you'll have to talk while you do it.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at this, I can barely see Cambro. I can barely see him. Okay. All right. I'm going to let the lighting kind of settle in here. As see, that's what worries me here. The lighting's just off a bit.
What if you tip it like slightly down?
There we go.
Up?
There we go. See, it like he looks awfully. I mean, I just. It's. In the face, I sit a little bit, but he still looks drastically different from the Canberra that we know. So there's my research there, Val.
It almost came in real good as you're entering.
Right,
it.
Right, can you see it now? Like, can you see it?
Oh, no, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, help. It just...
I think what makes that character look quite different is... You know, this one that's drawn, he's got that kind of like googly-eyed lips kind of hanging.
Yeah.
It makes him look different. But obviously Grimbot showed us the model sheet similar. It's the exact same
yes.
thing. But I think how they just drew him there, it was
he
enough
looks,
to where...
This looks modified. And that's why I feel like, you know, and I still like to think of Cambro as the character that Joe's got hard nipples for. And that's a current day character. Whereas this is just a random prehistoric caveman wandering around this kind of area where the sword has disappeared in, you know, current Eternia. But, God, man, I don't know what to believe anymore.
Well, that's cool. I'll have to check it later because Grimbot said, you know, he sent a part where a picture where he could show the bits and pieces that were used to, you know, make up that from Cambro. So we got you, man. Yeah, I can see the similarities, but it was good seeing Tyler get so worked up over that character in that episode because – remember the eidetic memory that he has for everything. It's like he lost it. He had a Joe meltdown. Not quite Joe level meltdown, but he had a little
bit. I didn't threaten to end the podcast right now.
He's like, that's it. That was the shit over. He's like, I'm done. Goodbye. See you next week.
Yeah, this podcast is over, and I just don't come back, and that's just left Joe like, this is great.
Right. Well, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, unless there's anything in the chat room, because I didn't know if you guys were saying anything.
Oh, yeah.
But
are there any questions or – smart-ass remarks telling me I don't know how to do my research.
Anything at all. If you have any questions, whether it's regarding the mini-comics, the cartoon, the movie, the toys, anything, bring it up. We can answer a couple before we wrap this episode up. Because Tyler might be a little exhausted. I don't even know if you have any water left over there. I've still been sitting
on this. No, I'm trying to, because if I drink too much water, I'm going to, you know, piss like a racehorse.
Yes, that's why I only usually just have one bottle, but... Well, I think that pretty much, like I said, wraps up. We'll see if anything pops up here in the chat room. But while, you know, we're waiting in case questions do come up, is there anything you can think of you want to close with? Anything you want to recommend for people to read, to watch, anything they want to see or anything like that?
You know, like to remind everybody, too, your PowerCon tickets, those are still available. You know, if that's coming up in August, if you plan on going to that, you know, get your tickets now. They're available. You know, I will say check out Mad Duck Posters for that beautiful Axel Jimenez artwork. He's got two posters on that website that they're selling that he's done. The beautiful horde poster, and then there's the He-Man in front of the Jaw Bridge with a Skeletor's face behind He-Man. It's a beautiful colored poster. And then, of course, I haven't done a recommendation for a while. Probably recommend... You know what? Disappearing Act.
Oh, Jesus. Had to come.
You know, and I think, We haven't done a commentary for that, have we? I want to say I think we have done a commentary for that.
God, that doesn't ring a bell, but you realize you are talking to somebody that forgets what he does yesterday. I wouldn't know if we did.
Yeah, but you know, but Disappearing Night is another underappreciated, overlooked episode from season one. I mean, it's a simple episode, but God, that's an episode that I watched a lot as a kid, but didn't enjoy it as much as I do now as an adult. I feel like there's so much more in that episode, a lot more fun.
If we didn't, we definitely can. Because we'll definitely talk about that part when we see that that big guy with the sword and the hat and everything. That'll be
definitely that some might call Cambro.
Exactly, that'll definitely come up.
But I still want to do Disappearing Dragons at some point, man. That is an episode I can't wait to praise the hell out of.
All right, we'll do it. And there's just a couple questions, chat room, because I think we ran people dry for the last few weeks, so they've been hitting us with a lot, so they might be thinking, what the hell can we ask now? But we have Zenrock.
Hang on, I'll be right back. Hang on 1 second.
Be right back after these messages. There you go. Everything froze on me. I can't even see. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if you guys seen it, how I seen it, but when Tyler said, I'll be right back, it looked like he was frozen on my end, and then suddenly, he just actually disappeared. So, I just watched the video. As I'm talking to you guys, I'm looking down. It was all in one smooth transition.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay. That was weird. I was talking about how you were talking about Disappearing Act and Disappearing Dragons. When you said, hold on, this is all I seen, Tyler. I seen you holding, like, your earbuds, and then suddenly, you were gone, and I seen your background. It looked like you actually disappeared, but when I watched the video here, it was fine.
How about that?
So, people, I have bad lag. I have an old tablet. I have horrible internet connection, which explains, again, my VHS quality video that you see every week.
And but warm water and no air conditioning and duct tape and, you know, anger management and just all kinds of, you know, Amato issues, you know.
Yeah, I try. God bless me. Well, Zen Brown has been saying something through quite a few of these things, and I guess we'll just have to, he says, is Beastman afraid of spiders? He says, as a kid, I got the impression that Beastman had a phobia of spiders. Then I saw the pic of Webstore scaring him with a spider. I don't know. This doesn't come into my head too much. He really did say this a lot. I don't know if he was just giving us a hard time, but he mentioned it quite a few times in the chat room.
That may have been, I think there was that almost sounded like it was from like something from one of the U.S. magazines, like in the comic strips or something like that, like the little comic book stories they would tell in the magazines.
I'll have to look at those as well.
I don't know, like in the canon or in the cartoons, no, nothing like that. Because as far as Webstore and Beastman never even shared an episode, as far as I can tell. Well, in Secret of the Sword, they're in the same episode, but they're on the screen at the same time. And there's no reference to Beastman's afraid of spiders or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, for me, it didn't ring a bell.
If there is, it may be in a European media or UK media or something like that. It may be possible. But as far as I know, in any of the U.S. media, I don't think so. I could be wrong. All right. I'm not opposed to admitting that I'm wrong.
Hey, Jeff, and me, I don't know if I'd remember much. But Grimbot says, are you guys planning on reviewing more of the newspaper strip stories? Now, I could do that, but I'm not sure, T-Rex, if you got that newspaper comic book. Do you have that?
Yeah, it's in front of me.
Oh, you did? Well, good. All right. Well, hell yeah. We'll do some of those. Yeah. We could maybe even do it next week, because I don't think we've actually ever discussed any of them. So maybe we could pick a good little story, one of the parts of the book, one of the good little story arcs. I don't know. We could do that.
Sure. Start at the beginning. I'm not opposed to that at all. I've got the book right there.
Okay. All right. Adam Gabbert said, my question is about owning a Masters Universe classic figure. He said, Joe and Tyler, which figure did you purchase cheap and expensive?
Oh, like the most we paid or the least we paid?
Yeah, I think he's saying the most and least. Well, I haven't... I always say money issues. I haven't collected in about 3 years. But when I got the figures, I got them all when I had the subscription. So I whatever the hell the prices were, I don't know. I just had my sub, and I got the figures. That's how I got all my classic figures. I don't know if that really answers this question, but I just got mine all through the sub.
Well, I mean, like if you missed one, you'd have to go on the secondary market, like on eBay or something like that. And you know what?
Oh, I've never done that. Okay. Oh, Adam, I've never actually went to the secondary market to buy a figure, so I know that they can get quite expensive, but I've never done that myself. But maybe, Tyler, you've done done it yourself? I mean, you did that?
I've bought them all, like, when Beastman, when the, just, it was, like, before the sub, it was just Beastman, and then they came out with He-Man, then they came out with Skeletor. I've been with it since the beginning, and I bought all the subs, but I was trying to think, because the Horde Troopers, I do remember, you know, I bought those when they re-released those again, but I limited myself to one because it was right around Christmas time, and I was scaring myself while making sure I had another. But in terms of, like, I don't think I've really spent, and it really just depends on how bad you want them. I mean, it really does. I mean, I've paid $187 for a Men on Card Clamp Champ in an acrylic case it came with because I desperately wanted to have Clamp Champ Men on Card. I paid $290 for a Men on Card He-Man that came with a He-Man / Horde lunchbox. It's not classics, but if you really want it and you got the money, we're only on this planet one time. So if you've got the money and you want Shadow Weaver or you want Web Store or you want Fisto and you don't have them, you know, I think prices have gone down a little bit on eBay. It's been a while since I've looked on the classics on eBay. But I say treat yourself, man. If you're looking at something and you're questioning whether or not, you know, we've all paid heavy prices for some of this stuff. I mean, I pay tall prices for some of the stuff that I buy that are He-Man related. But if you love it enough, like I do, not to say, oh, I love it too. I just don't have the money. You know, I don't know. I always have the money for a lot of this stuff too. Like when all those Horde Troopers came out, I was lucky enough to buy one and that was it. And I had to tell myself that's all I could get. Fortunately, I've got four Horde Troopers here. So I just build it up to, you know, how much you really want. If you got it, treat yourself, man, because enjoy it. That's all I got to say. This stuff is here for us to enjoy. So,
most definitely, no. If you can, yeah. If you can afford it, definitely get it.
Don't let other people say, "Oh man, you should pay $75. I wouldn't pay more than $75." Well, you know what? Options are limited with certain characters, and if you can't go to Walmart or leftovers at Big Bad Toy Store or GameStop and get a particular character, you're gonna have to fork out some money. But I say do it and enjoy it, because I'm sure once you get it in hand, you'll be glad that you did it.
Oh, yeah, because that's the one thing I guess I was so excited about is when I kind of first got onto the internet in a time when I had money and going to eBay and finding out, oh, my God, they actually released Titus the Megator. It wasn't just that thing that I seen in the catalog at Elder Beerman and thinking they never made them. And I see, oh, my God, they actually made them. I was able to acquire those, but that was when I first came onto the internet before the insane prices started happening of those figures. Also, I never knew about a laser light Skeletor and a laser power He-Man. Those things were not even in my imagination as a kid because in the United States, we didn't know anything about those. When I found out about those, I got them as well. I got a really good deal. Of course, at that time, maybe that was expensive. I don't know, but I got laser light Skeletor carded for $400. And that was
here you are talking about hashtag I'm not poor. I got a $400 Men on Card He-Man.
There was a time where, yeah, the money was a little more around. And that
I know,
was
but you're talking as if, like, I think I got a deal. $400, you still paid a hell of a lot of money, though.
I did, and I don't know what everybody always says, you know, like, hey, it's worth a lot of money. Since I don't need to buy it, I don't know what it costs on eBay now. I don't know, have a clue.
I think what you paid Men on Card, I mean, I think we're talking well over $300. Like, I mean, I've seen He-Man and Skeletor go. I mean, I've seen the He-Man that I've got here go for close to $1,000 to as low as about $300. So it varies. The laser powered laser light figures, Men on Card, hell yeah. I mean, I mean, at $400, still a lot of money for a Men on Card figure, even one of the 8-back figures. So you could pay more or you could pay around that. So I think you probably got like the kind of going rate for that. I think so.
Yeah, and so I still have the card back in the bubble, but the figure is loose up there. As for the laser power He-Man, I was never able to see him carded, and then, especially at that time, at a good price. That's when I was pretty much, I think, done, where I couldn't keep buying more things and more things. So I found a $50 loose one that's up on my wall. It had no armor, no nothing, and I just took the armor, I think that came with possibly... I think it came with Mega Laser. I'm trying to remember which one had that this one particular set of armor. And I just took that and
No,
I put it
that would
on
be the Stilt Stalkers.
Stiltstalker, thank you. Well, I took the armor from Stiltstalker and I put it on and I was like, there's his armor. So I have a laser power He-Man with fake armor, no sword, no nothing. But hey, he's at least there. So
Hey, well, hey, making good use of that Stiltstalker armor. I mean, come on. There's another thing. If Mosquito and Drax aren't mentioned enough, those 386 accessories are not mentioned enough. We should have got those in Filmation. You know, it'd have been great to see the Stiltstalkers in action, the Mega Laser and the Jet Sled. Oh, of course, we already had a Jet or Sky Sled.
with the name Jet Sled because they couldn't use Sky Sled. Yeah, exactly.
So we already had that, but it still looked cool, and those are just things that I
They
just
got
always
plenty of
thought.
interpretations, at least in the comics. You know, we did see them quite often, so it was
Well,
cool. I
the
mean,
Jet Sled, I felt like the Mega Laser got used once, you know, and the Greatest Draw in the Universe, and the Stiltstalkers got, I think, got used in Snake Attack, and that's about it.
yeah, but so I think, damn, was there some in the stories in the magazines, you know, the magazine comics that you'd get. I thought they had some appearances in there,
They
but
may have.
somehow.
I never memorized many of those. There's a few that stick out, but no, I couldn't tell you for sure on those.
All right, well, I'm gonna do Zen Brown's quote, and then I'll, of course, thank everybody in the chat room, and then you do yours. But Zen Brown says, here's his movie quote: sometimes you gotta say what the, and I'm not gonna say the F word, but what the, and take a chance. Because saying what the gives you freedom. Freedom gives opportunity. Opportunity gives you your future. My God, I probably butchered his entire thing, but do you know what that might have been? Because,
No, I don't know that one at all.
wow, you're going to have to. Oh, well, Jeff Prime, he made it sound like he might know. He says, great movie. Guys, I give up. I don't know. Tyler doesn't know. So you'll have to do it. You'll have to give us the answer. But while you're typing an answer, I just, well. I want to thank everybody in the chat room. Like I said, it's always great having you here every single week. You know, the interaction, we love it. And of course, always hope you enjoy the show.
And
It's good having.
I guess also too, like for I will say this. I'm sorry, Joe. Didn't
No,
mean
go
to make
ahead.
a habit of cutting you off here. But I will say, like, we plan to have James back on with us. James has said he'll come on and join us in June. Danny or Penny Dreadful will join us again. You know, I got to get in touch with her about that. She said she'll come back. I like to think that Joe and I will finally get around to doing our live action movie commentary, you know, because that's something I would like, you know what, we've yet to do that. So I'd like to be able to do that with Joe at some point this summer. Now the summer movie season is in full swing. I'm gonna hold Joe to Disappearing Dragons at some point and Disappearing Act, and I mean, there's a whole plethora of awesome He-Man episodes we still have to do commentary for. But I just those are some things down the pipeline I know of you know we want to do or hope to do. So,
Most definitely. No, we will. Most definitely. And oh, well, in the chat room, Jeff Prime got it, and also Zen Brown said it was risky business. I'll be honest, I can't quote that
I've only
movie.
seen Risky Business once, and I mean, I thought it was all right, but I think another movie that I saw way after the fact, when I was going through Tom Cruise's like back catalog of like older films at one point, and it was okay. It just didn't leave as big an impression on me, I think, as it did as the people who
Yeah.
saw it initially when it came out. So.
I seen it probably as a kid once and maybe once and as an adult. Not saying it's a horrible movie, it's just it was one I never revisited. But well, you stumped us, you got us again. It's usually easy to stump me, like I said, with a horrible memory. I also want to say one other thing, and that's happy Friendship Day to you, Tyler, because it's our 7-year friendship anniversary from Facebook when we first I guess met and connected on Facebook 7 years ago on
Yeah,
this
I
day.
saw that, and like this was the first day where Joe got mad and left a live recording of the podcast due to something I said.
Damn it. I used to do that when I was drinking a spit. I'm wiping the inside of my mask. I'm sorry.
Because if for those who don't know, we recorded another podcast earlier today where I was bantering with Joe about when Steven Seagal's first straight to video came out. And it just turned into where he got so put out, and I think it was not due to because of what I said, but he had bad connections, so he just got frustrated and got up and left in the middle of the live recording due to what I was arguing with him about over a straight-to-video Steven Seagal movie. And after we finished, it kind of killed the momentum for me and Nathan, and I go on Facebook to start promoting, and I get notifications saying, you and Joe Amato are celebrating 70 years of friendship on Facebook. I'm like, this is the first time I've ever had Joe upset about anything on the 7-year anniversary that we became friends, which got us started on a podcast that's no longer going. But it's kind of ironic. I had the first clash of arms with Joe on the actual anniversary that we became friends on Facebook. So it took 7 years for me to piss Joe off. Where he was like, "Ah, ah, bah," you know, like Doctor Doom in comic books when he gets pissed off, "Bah," you know.
And
Joe getting choked up on the podcast while drinking water. There's a first too. So
I was. I didn't have no air conditioning, people. I didn't have no air on earlier today, and I had warm water, and I was just hot, man. So that was on me. I wasn't mad at anybody. I was fine. Everybody snaps once in a while. I'm good. I'm fine.
That was good comedic timing there.
Right. So
and I want to say thanks to everybody that showed up, and special thanks to Grimbod and Val for showing up there as well. And everybody that joined us this week.
Yeah, and all the new people. I love just hearing from new people. And everybody that's always been here, continue to support us. Like I said, we always love you in the chat room. And anybody that's listening to this, like you said, whether it's on iTunes or on reruns, it's like, we always love and appreciate all your support and just hope you have a blast. That's why we do it. Just have a blast. Give each other some crap. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
If you have questions too, fans, don't feel like you got to wait till the podcast for us to do like the standard Q&A at the end. If you got something you want us to address on the actual recording as we're going, send us a message on Facebook through Messenger, or make a post on one of our many posts, or you know, go to heman.org on the forums where I post all the episodes. You got a question, post it, and we can do it on the following episode. You know, we don't want it to, you know, we always, you know, we like to incorporate fans as much as we can, and all listeners. And if you got something that could be the focal point of one of the two or three discussions we have, you know, we like to present that opportunity, you know.
Definitely. And Jeff Prime, you know, appreciate it. He said last week's MYP podcast was awesome. He said he loved it. And, yeah, we had a blast. We love doing that MYP episode.
We'll do some more commentaries for MYP also. You know, we need to do a Council of Evil discussion or a commentary. We need to do Sky War.
We need to do the best one. We need to do the Island. We got to do that one. That's pretty much Tyler's favorite. So, yeah, we got plenty of good ones. Straight ahead.
God almighty, man. I haven't seen the episode since its original air date. That was the last time I watched that episode. And I remember there's a shot of Taylor looking really goofy looking as a kid.
We'll do it's going to be live commentary. I'll be holding my Decker action figure. It's going to be a blast. I cannot wait. It's going to be the best one ever. You're going to hear so much emotion, enthusiasm, and excitement.
Hear the power of crickets. That's the only thing you'll be hearing during that podcast, because I won't have a damn thing to say here.
They'll just be sitting there dead quiet. So, but all right, guys. Well, again, thanks for joining us, and have a powerful day.
That's the formaldehyde. That's what keeps Granny so well preserved.
Here we go. Damn it, is Joe going to fail? I'm going to fail again. All right, so I'm just going to admit defeat. And we'll wait for about 30 seconds to see if anybody in the chat room can get that. And why don't you say it one more time for them?
That's the formaldehyde. That's what keeps Granny so well preserved.
God, I don't have a clue. I hope JSP said the burbs?
No.
Okay. And he did it with a question mark, so he was even questioning, saying, like, the burbs? You know, I could hear.
No, I feel like I was going to quote the burbs, no one would have an issue getting that picked.
All right, well, wait about just a couple more seconds, see if anybody else does it. And Jeff Prime said Mrs. Doubtfire?
Bingo.
Huh, what part was that in Mrs. Doubtfire?
When he's being kicked out of the house by Sally Field and saying bye to the kids as he's moving out. And Natty walks over to him and says, you know, Grandma, she skips parts and she smells funny too. He goes, that's the formaldehyde. That's why Granny's so well preserved. And you see her on top of the steps. And she hears what he's saying to his daughter.
God,
seen that in the theater. The whole theater was just like rolling out of the floor laughing when that scene popped up.
Well, great job, Jeff Prime, for getting that. Yeah. You gave me a million chances to guess. I wouldn't have. So, okay. All right. Well, it was fun. See you guys next week.
All right. Later.